Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, it is time to throw you a curveball, which I love to do, and I've invited a guest to come on. I know we are past the tax return time, okay, but some folks are still out there on extension, and some folks are wondering, okay, how do I do this better next year, and how do I make smart decisions in dealing with the IRS and our collection system? And so I invited Michael Velarde to come on the program. Now, Michael is very special, and here's why he's on the program with us today. He is a retired IRS criminal investigator. He's been a college professor. He's an author. The website for our program, which I will mention more than once because it's a little tricky, but I think you'll be able to handle it, MikeVelardeEA.com. EA is for enrolled agent. So Mike Velarde, just like it sounds, VilardeEA.com. And Mike is going to be sharing with us and talking with us today about how to deal with the IRS on unique situations, but he brings with him to our conversation today a fantastic background having worked for the IRS in their criminal investigation unit. So, Michael, welcome to the program.
David, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
My pleasure. Thank you for being with us. And Michael spends part of his time up in New York and also in Florida, so he splits his time, but he is available to help folks anywhere in the country, really, with special IRS difficulties. And so you grew up in Long Island, and that's what I understand from my research on you, and you have a bachelor's in business administration and accounting, MBA in management from University of Massachusetts. You went to work for the IRS when you were 28, and you were in their criminal investigation division for 22 years.
That is correct.
Boy, you just got experience stacked to the ceiling. All right. Well, so tell us something that, you know, that you would anticipate we might want to know. What, first of all, what's that like, Michael, working for the IRS for that long? Michael, tell us a story, man. I mean, what can you tell us about that experience? And then we'll get into some of the practical stuff for people in dealing with the IRS.
Well, I had a real diverse career, and I had the opportunity to do a lot of different things. So it really was pretty unique. I mean, I actually worked a lot with the Secret Service back in the 90s when they needed extra people to do protection details whenever the UN came into town. So I had the opportunity to meet people like Yitzhak Rabin. I met Yitzhak Rabin literally 2 weeks before he was assassinated.
Oh, boy.
I actually protected Al Gore one time. Then I was on the Colombian Drug Task Force going after the Colombians. We were set up out of Manhattan. That was an interesting 8 months there. Worked organized crime, Russian organized crime, was the QRP coordinator for 3 years, which basically I selected the cases for the field as far as which tax preparers we go after criminally and which ones we do civilly. So it was pretty diverse, and it was, the best thing about it was it allowed me the opportunity to retire at the age of 50. And I did. Now I have my own business, you know, Michael Velarde EA, and I help other people that have issues with the IRS. So it's been pretty interesting.
I'll bet it has. And so one of the things that you probably ran into is that, you know, this is one of those obvious questions you would expect me to ask you, is the folks that you guys were investigating at the IRS, these are folks that they thought they were pretty slick, right? I mean, that's why you're investigating them. They thought they were pretty slick and they thought they would get away with it. You know, can you give us an example of some of the things that people tried to pull or thought they could get away with, or just maybe some of the audacity of the crimes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When we did Russian organized crimes, what the Russians were doing, they were stealing $6 million a month in excise tax from gasoline. And how they did it was they set up what's called a daisy chain. And that was like they set up different shell companies, and the IRS was the company that was set up to pay the tax to the IRS would fold every 6 months.
Oh, God.
So every time we go after it, it'd be out of business with huge liabilities. And it actually caused a change in the law after we arrested them and figured out the scheme. Now the tax is at the terminal. So the terminal has to pay the tax instead of the middleman companies that would deliver the gasoline to the gas stations.
I got you. So these are serious deals, and these are big dollars you're talking about. Some of the investigations, I imagine, ran into the several million dollars, if not more than that.
Well, the purpose of the criminal division is that, you know, you don't want to criminalize somebody that owes $5,000 to the IRS. If that were the case, there'd be a lot of people in jail today. So the goal is really to go after the bigger offenders, the one with there's actual intent. I mean, there's different elements to the crime. You know, there's supposed to be a pattern, there's supposed to be intent, there's supposed to be willfulness. You don't want to just jam somebody up because they can't pay their taxes, you know what I mean? when it comes to the criminal division. So
yeah,
we go after the bigger players, the ones that were scheming for millions of dollars.
The bad guys.
Yeah, the bad guys.
The bad guys. Let's do this, Michael. Michael's not a bad guy. He's a good guy, and he's helping us, Michael Velarde. And the website, MikeVelardeEA.com. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about some of the things you can do, ladies and gentlemen, to navigate this challenging area of the IRS and the tax law. Stay tuned.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Velarde is joined us. MikeVelardeEA.com is the website. And we're talking, got a little introduction before the break, but I wanted to get into some of the details with you, Mike. What are some of the things that, I guess, with the tax code, the nuances, if you will, that people should look out for? And then we'll get into how to navigate them. So what are some of the things that they really need to look out for, I guess, as they're thinking about wrapping up this year's, if they're on extension, or for next year's tax return?
Well, let me say this, David. Obamacare has a lot of new taxes, $1.4 trillion in new taxes. And significantly changes the landscape of everything. Okay,
it's almost an. I mean, I'm not going to say it's a new tax code, but it's a major. It's a major addition, isn't it?
Major. It's probably the worst legislation ever.
Well, you can read. You can read the legislation after you vote for it.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. I mean, let me tell you why. It makes medical costs much more expensive. Before Obamacare last year, you were able to put as much money as you wanted in a medical savings account. This year, under Obamacare, you're limited to $2,500. Mm. Well, what does that mean? I mean, if you're going to have a major heart operation, it's going to cost you $30,000. Last year, you could have planned for it and used pre-tax dollars. This year, you're limited to the $2,500. Last year, under your Schedule A itemized deductions, you were allowed to deduct anything over 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. This year with Obamacare, it's 10%.
Wow.
So if you made $100,000 and you had $10,000 in medical expenses, last year you got a deduction of $2,500. This year you get a deduction of zero. Obamacare taxes the pharmaceutical companies. It taxes the manufacturers of medical equipment. It puts a tax on an existing health care plan of up to 40%. And next year, the IRS is going to start for anybody that doesn't have health insurance. So there's more requirements under Obamacare, and it's the newest part of, and the IRS is tasked with enforcing it. So if you don't have health insurance, next year the IRS is going to send you a bill for $750.
Wow.
Okay. So that's really, if it doesn't get repealed, it's guaranteed to tank this economy in a way that's never been seen before.
Well, we don't want that.
No, we don't. But I mean, it seems to me if the interest was to help people with health insurance, in other words, lower the cost of health insurance, they would have done the exact opposite of everything they did. In other words, you would have created more deductions for people that had medical expenses, not less.
Hmm.
You would have lowered costs, given tax breaks to companies that are producing medical equipment and pharmaceuticals, not going the other way.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, I do. Well, I've been puzzled by all of it for a long time, and I don't get what we're trying to do here. I understand the intent, but it seems like the implementation, as you're sharing, Michael, doesn't seem to match up with the intent of the what we were told about this legislation.
I mean, it's really been, and some of the stuff they're actually, putting in and repealing some of it as it goes along because it is so erroneous.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
So the Obamacare, all of the tax provisions related to it, really, and you're not seeing, and you didn't say as part of your commentary, you didn't jump right on some of the investment income tax. You're talking about other things, not just the extra tax that the people at the highest income levels are going to pay. That's also
right.
True, but you're talking about other things that are going to affect everyday people.
Oh, yeah, there's a new Medicare tax if you sell your house. you're going to pay 3.8% of the proceeds of the house.
Yeah.
You make a lot of money in the stock market. That's another 3.8% tax. In addition to the tax you're going to pay as far as income tax, it's Medicare tax.
So there's a lot of taxes everywhere in this deal.
Oh, absolutely.
I even heard they're as you said they're going through and they're revising or amending. I think they're going to put an extra 3.8% on breathing.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, everything else. I mean, it's let me tell you, listeners, this.
All right.
The most important thing they can do when dealing with the IRS is respond to them.
Yes.
If the IRS sends you a letter, usually they'll send out a 30-day letter before they take any action. They're going to ask for your response. People seem to think that if they don't respond to the IRS will go away. There is nothing further from the truth than that. If you do not run to the IRS will come after you brutally, absolutely brutally. If you don't file a tax return, and you should have, they will file one for you. It's called a substitute return. When they file that return, they purposely make it painful for you.
Mm.
They expected you to do it, and you did not. They give you absolutely no benefits, no deductions, only the minimal allowable by law. Then they send you a tax bill. Together with the tax bill, you get hit with interest and penalty. So if you haven't filed returns, it's something you need to do.
Yeah, because if you don't, I mean, you say they kind of come after you with it. They come out with you initially with communication and letters that are saying, look, you owe more, you owe more, you owe more. And we need to jump another break in here, Michael. When we come back, I want you to tell me what happens next if you don't respond beyond that. MikeVilardiEA.com is the website, and we'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Velarde is my guest. He is a retired IRS criminal investigator, author, college professor, and he works as an enrolled agent helping folks from all over the country dealing with difficult issues with dealing with the IRS, and we're going through some of the things that you need to do. And one of the big ones Michael talked about before the break was making sure you respond to the IRS, because after they've sent you letters and they've ratcheted up the various things, what happens next to get the taxpayers' attention?
Well, if they want your money, I mean, they'll levy your bank account.
They know where all that stuff is, right?
Well, yeah, what happens is if you have money in the bank and you collect interest, the bank will send both you and the IRS a 1099. So that tells the IRS where the money is.
So they can literally, if you don't respond, you ignore them. They say you owe them $50,000. And they see interest of, you know, whatever amount it is, they can obviously interpolate how much money might be there. They have the authority then they notify you, and then they have the authority to go suck that money out of that account.
Yes, it has happened.
Wow. That's scary.
Yeah, it is. It is scary. That's why you need somebody either to deal with them for you, like myself, you know, somebody who can go in there and stop them from doing that. Or you need to be on top of it and contact them as soon as they contact you.
Yeah, I agree. So those are some things to watch out for. And any other things you've seen recently, Michael, where people have gotten tripped up on, you know, I know we talked about Obamacare and just the response. Any other things that seem to get in people's way when they're trying to deal with the IRS?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you a funny story of how the IRS changed its policy. They had a taxpayer. And I'm just going to change names to protect the innocent here.
Sure.
So the names I'm using are not the actual names. But this guy's name was Mr. Goldstein, and he made $100,000 in one particular year and gave a donation of $60,000 to the Roman Catholic Church in his neighborhood. So the IRS thought that was really weird, why a Jewish guy would be giving that kind of money to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So they went and they talked to Father Flanagan at Our Lady of Grace, the church that he gave the money to. And again, I'm just making up names here as we go along. And the agent said, you know, because he actually sent the checks, by the way. He sent the checks that he received, from, you know, that he gave to the church. But the IRS still thought it was weird, so they sent out two agents to investigate further, you know. So they said, Father Flanagan, we have all these checks here from Mr. Goldstein, who's been giving you large amounts of money, you know, $60,000 in the last year. Could you explain what's going on? He's a Jewish guy giving the Catholic Church money, so we don't understand it. Can you explain it to us? And Father Flanagan's going, Goldstein. Oh, the guy that comes and buys the change every week. So this guy would come to the church and buy the change from all the services and just write a check for whatever the amount of the change was.
Oh, my gosh.
And then take it as a deduction. So as a result of that, the IRS will no longer accept the fact that you just have a check from it going to the charity. They want to see actually something on the charity's letterhead.
Acknowledging that it was a contribution
and it wasn't for anything.
He was going and buying all of the change, so the loose coins or dollar bills or whatever it was?
Yep, all the change, yep.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there's a rule and a reg and a form for, you know, all sorts of things that have happened. Well, so given, you know, the obvious heightened scrutiny that the IRS is bringing more and more, and I'm sure they'll be hiring lots more agents. What are some of the opportunities that you see, Michael, that are hidden in the code?
Well, let's talk about what Obama did, just to give you guys a little background.
Sure.
Back in 2009, President Obama went to Congress and requested an additional $640 million for the Internal Revenue Service for the purpose of hiring additional revenue officers and revenue agents. So they call it a wave. They hired a new wave of people that came in back in 2009. And they basically were able to up the audit and up the collection activities. They doubled what's called the core audit rate. What a core audit is called a correspondence audit. That is when the IRS sends you a letter. So, for instance, let's say you're Mr. Goldstein and you had $60,000 in contributions to the Catholic Church in your tax return. You would get what's called a correspondence audit. The IRS would say, okay, please correspond. We see that you claim $60,000 in contributions. Please send us the documentation to substantiate that. Now, if you respond within 30 days and send it to them, they should allow you the deductions and go on. If you do not, then you get your taxes recomputed with the penalties and interest that go with it. Okay? So the IRS was able to hire a significant amount of people. Now they're looking for more people to handle Obamacare, but I don't think he's going to get the money he's looking for to hire those people because they're tasking them with enforcing Obamacare. And what that's going to entail is sending tax bills to every person who's over the age of 21 that does not have any kind of medical insurance.
Mm-mm-mm.
Now, under the Obamacare law, they're not allowed to attach interest or penalties to it. But what's going to happen is a lot of low-income people receive what's called the earned income tax credit. As a result, they use that money, you know, to help them out. It's kind of like a welfare, in a sense. If you earn, let's say, $20,000 and you have two kids and you're a single mom, government says, you know what, we're going to give you a credit of $3,000. So it'll offset your tax and it'll send you a check for the difference. So a lot of people end up getting these checks that are part of the earned income tax credit. Well, now what's going to happen is that money is going to be offset by the Obamacare tax.
Mm, so they'll just take the $750 right off of there.
Exactly correct.
I got you.
So there's going to be a lot of low-income people that are going to be shocked.
They're going to get hammered.
Find out. Exactly. It's just like this year when President Obama said there'll be no new tax increases. And everybody that got a paycheck saw that they took a 2% hit because of the Medicare taxes, the Social Security taxes, you know. So these people, the low-income people, are going to really be hit very hard with Obamacare, and they're going to see it in 2014. They're not going to see it this year. They're going to see it next.
All right. Well, Michael, we're going to take one more quick break, and Michael Velarde is our guest. Mike Velarde, EA.com is the website. Short break. We'll be right back.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. we're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
So you've been wanting to get a copy of my book. David Holland here telling you about how to get great advice and avoid scams. Well, you can, of course, get that from my website. But if you're out and about and you'd like to take a look at the book, pick it up, hold it in your hand, stop by Inspirations. John Hill's the owner. It's at 162 South Nova Road in Ormond Beach. And tell him that I sent you. And we're back. Michael, we're down to the last one-minute warning here. So Michael Velarde's been our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Give us any final thoughts on some of the opportunities you see in the tax code. We've only had a chance to talk about some of the challenges we're seeing. What would be some of the things you would advise people really to take advantage of? I'm not saying cheating, of course, but things that they should really maximize and take advantage of that's available to them.
Well, the biggest thing that they got to take advantage of is the IRA deduction.
All right.
They're going to give you $5,000 a year, $6,000 if you're 50 or above. You got to take advantage of that. Schedule A itemized deductions. If you're going to have any kind of debt, make sure it's mortgage debt so the government's helping you pay it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You have clothes. If you have stuff you're going to give away, give it to Goodwill, get the receipt, take the deduction. Home-based businesses is still one of the greatest things you can do. I mean, if you want to join Amway, Metaluca, any one of those home-based businesses, it'll allow you to get mileage for your car, home office expenses, stuff like that. And then if you run into a real problem with the IRS, you can either go to my website or you can call me at 888-873-8825 if you need somebody to represent you, because the IRS can be brutal.
I have a lot of
testimonials on my page, on my website, about people that I was able to help, because it's one thing for the IRS to deal with the public, it's another thing for the IRS to deal with the former employees and those how to jam them up and know where the lines in the sand are, and if they go past it, how to make them pay for it. So
that's very good. That's very good, Michael. Mike Velarde, EA.com. Michael, we're out of time. We'll have to have you come back and update us on goings on. And there's so much here to cover. We only have so much time, but I appreciate you being on the program.
Hey, David, thanks for having me. Call me anytime.
I will. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, bye-bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.